wish I had some real folk in the house tonight who say, I don't always feel like lifting my hand. I want to teach you a real simple song tonight. My brother, Elder Eugene Brown's going to sing it for us. Simply says,
we all have the sacrifice of
we unrehearsed, unprovoked, spontaneously come out without any outside stimulus. We are her. We are her. We won't forsake our responsibility. We are.
Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah, God. You deserve the praise, God. Hallelujah, God. You're perfect in all of your ways. You, oh, God, you're so good. Your spirit is good, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. Hallelujah. God, I bless you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah, Lord God. I bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you the sacrifice of praise. You may be listening right now, the sound of my voice. You may be going through something that you don't have answers to. You may not understand where you are right now in the things of God, but I dare you to just tell God, thank you. Even in the midst of pain, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of misunderstandings, in the midst of it all, just give God the praise. He is worthy of your praise. The sacrifice of praise is when you go beyond, Lord, I want to praise you, to Lord, I have to praise you. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of praise. God is worthy of the praise at all times, but there's sometimes we don't feel like praising God. There's sometimes we can go through so much. To the point that you don't even feel like talking to God or saying thank you. But then there's something on the inside that just won't let you rest. There's something on the inside that just keeps reaching for God. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. There's something on the inside. Jeremiah the prophet told God he wasn't going to preach the word no more. Because as he gave the people what God was saying, the people began to hate Jeremiah. They even put him in a dungeon. And at one point, the prophet said, I will no longer speak of his words. The people wanted to hear good words, but they didn't want the truth. Jeremiah told the people, said that, you know, well, God told Jeremiah that the people, to him, that the people thought that what he said was like a beautiful song. Oh, good word, it sounds good. But they're not going to do nothing you say. That's what God told the prophet, and the prophet was grieved. He was called the crying prophet or the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet that would weep and cry because he saw what was happening in the spirit realm. He saw what was happening to the people of God. He saw that the people did not have an ear to hear the true word of God. So he began to grieve. Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations. He laments and weeps over the things that are happening, over the ungodliness of the prophets, and over the falsehood in Israel, and over the death that it came and the calamity that it came into the city of Jerusalem. He cried about those things. And Jeremiah was grieved. And at one point in his grief, he said, I will no longer speak of his words. He began to take his seat in silence. He says, I'm done with this. He got where he didn't want to preach anymore or prophesy anymore. But something on the inside. He said, his word was unto me as fire shut up in my bones. Sometimes the praise is like that in you. You can feel like, well, Lord, I know I owe you the praise, but my life right now, I don't feel like I got enough to be thankful for. There's so many things that seem to be going wrong. It's the enemies attacking on the left and on the right. It troubles everywhere and warfare and all these things. But something on the inside is yet won't let you not praise him. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. On the Now Network. Hallelujah. I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. I'm going to bring you the continuation of the word that God gave me on last week and gave me a green light this week to continue on this subject. But I just had to put that plug in there for praise. I can hear you. The lines aren't open right now, but you can hear me. I dare you to just lift your hands in the air for about 30 seconds and just tell God, thank you. You got breath in your body. That's enough. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. He didn't say you had to be righteous.
He didn't say you had to be in good health. He didn't say your mind had to be all the way right. He said all you need is breath. If you're breathing, the purpose for that breath in you is to praise God. Why? Because it's called the breath of life. Where did it come from? It came from God, so we ought to give it back to God in the form of a praise. When you open your mouth and you praise God, then you, that air that's coming out of you is moving in the spirit realm. Hey, glory, I feel a shift. It's moving in the spirit realm, hallelujah, and it is causing things to shift. Hallelujah. That air, that sound, that vibration of the sound that's coming out of your mouth when you bless the name of the Lord, it is now shifting things. It is turning the atmosphere. It is moving on your behalf. Hallelujah. So I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. I dare you to just take a few more seconds and put your heart into it. People praise me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. But there's a time where you can take from your heart and your mouth will speak. Lord, I love you because it's in your heart. God, you're my everything. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you. I can't make it a day without you. You're the one that I need. Hallelujah. You are my reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, why he say hallelujah all the time? Because that's the highest praise we can give to God. Hallelujah. It's the highest praise known to man. Hallelujah means to celebrate. Yah is a form or a derivative of God's name from Yahweh. Hallelujah. Okay, so we praise or we celebrate God. Hallelujah. Bless your name. We celebrate him. Hallelujah. I'm trying to move on from the praise, but we got to break through the heaviness and all the things that the enemy tries to block, the clouds and all those things got to be penetrated and enter in through praise. Hallelujah. He says into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and into his, y'all know how it goes. He says into his courts with praise and into his gates with thanksgiving or vice versa. So we understand that God's courts and God's gates are not just when you go to the house of God. It's when you enter the presence of God. God's courts and his gate is in a different realm. The domain of God is in the spirit realm. We've got to step out of the natural. It's not about going into the temple. You can walk into the temple praising God. But we're talking about when we enter into him, his courts. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The house of God is bigger than your local assembly. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. How big is his house? Where is his house? We got to transition now to another realm. Hallelujah. Into the spirit. Hallelujah. The job of the preacher, man, is to point you there, to tell you, hey, to articulate the voice of God in the earth. That's all. That's all. The preacher's just a man like you, but there's a flow that goes through him. Hallelujah. A funnel is nothing, but what you put through that funnel is going to flow out to wherever you direct it. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Hallelujah. So I'm here to give you a word today. I'm sure of that. But I just believe we need to praise God. There's power in our praise. Hallelujah. It may not change your situation, but it'll change your outlook. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Watch this now. I'm not going to be before you too long today. I don't plan on it. But I need to get back on this thing about holiness. Holiness. Bible says that praise is comely to the upright. It's comely. That means it's beautiful. Beautiful. See, if you're not upright in heart, then somebody saying, thank you, Jesus, will bother you. Somebody crying before the Lord and singing songs of praise will bother you because you're in the flesh. But the upright, that inner person, that holy person that is made after the image of God now in righteousness, in true holiness, that person says, it's something beautiful about praise. Hallelujah. Especially when the praise is coming from the heart. He said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. The purpose of you breathing is to give God the praise. When you put that sound out, that vibe, when you put it out in the atmosphere, it's doing something on your behalf. Not only it doesn't do so much for God all the time, sometimes it's what it's doing for you. God's going to get his praise whether we praise him or not. This is why it's called a sacrifice of praise. There's a time where you're going to feel like, I don't want to praise God. You're going to feel so heavy. You're going to be so tired. You're going to be so mad, so upset, whatever, just so done with it all. But then that's when it's a sacrifice. Lord, I didn't feel like praising you today, but I'm going to reach down inside of me and find a praise because there has to be a praise in me because I got breath. And you said everything that have breath, let it praise the Lord. So somewhere in me, I'm going to find that praise and I'm going to give God a sacrifice. David said that when he went to sacrifice before the Lord, he went to purchase the land, and the man said, you can have it. And David said, no, I will not offer anything to the Lord that does not cost me something. It's a sacrifice, and it costs you something when you didn't want to do it, when you didn't feel good about it. Praise him. It's two times to praise God, they say. When you feel like it and when you don't. Hallelujah. The two best times to praise God is when you feel like it and when you don't, which means what? All the time. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises will continue to be in my mouth. Hallelujah. What's in your mouth today? Is it gossip? Is it slander? Is it discord? Is it messiness? Is it arguments? Is it complaint? Is it backbiting or is it praise? See, you can't go wrong praising God. Why? Because not only are you telling God how wonderful he is, you're telling everybody else how wonderful he is. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. This is about God drawing people to himself. Hallelujah. All we got to simply do is lift him up. This is my job, is to lift him up in the earth. I might not be liked by all for it. I may not be understood. Some may not join in. Some may not understand or want to be a part of it. That's okay. But God says, if I be lifted up, if there's an if there, it means he's putting something on us. If, are we going to lift him up? Think about that for a minute. So we just bless the name of Jesus today. I'm trying to get into this message. Hallelujah. But I had to get into that praise thing. God, we thank you. Praise is not always in a song. Let me help somebody. Praise is not always in a feeling. You ain't always got to feel it. It ain't always got to be, the tears were flowing and the goosebumps and I felt God and all. If God is limited to a feeling, you're going to be deceived by your feelings. But God is to be sensed and known. Hallelujah. God is known by the truth of his word. Hallelujah. God is known by the presence of his spirit. Sometimes you feel him, sometimes you don't, but you got to praise him even when you don't. A sacrifice of praise. All right. Now, that's not my message, but that's a teaser. I guess that somebody needs to hear that. So when I'm talking about the goodness of God, when we're doing this, that is praising God. You're speaking well of him. That's praising God. It doesn't have to be, oh, Jesus, we love you. That doesn't necessarily always mean that's praise. That's a form of praise, to let somebody know how good God is, just to speak of him all the time, to meditate on his word verbally, to speak his word. That is to praise God, to speak well of him, because now everything around you knows who you stand for, who you represent. See, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if a person's always talking about God, maybe God is all that's in their heart. Hallelujah. Think about that. What you talk about the most is what you think about the most. This is why we're commanded to meditate on God's word, that we may observe to do all that is written therein. We can't do his word because we're not meditating on it. When we meditate on the word, not on your problems, not on what he said or she said or what I thought, no, none of that matters. What are we meditating? The word. Hallelujah. The Bible says that blessed is the man that standeth not. This out. Hallelujah. So last week we spoke about holiness, how God separates you and sets you apart. If you didn't hear me for the last 10 minutes or so, I do apologize. I don't know when the line got disconnected. I was just now able to get a mobile network. I don't know why, but we're going to move on in excellence. If you didn't hear me, it was basically talking about praise. We have to give God a sacrifice of praise, but I'm not going to go back into that. I'm going to move forward with what he's given me concerning holiness. Last week we spoke about the holiness of God and how God will separate a people. I'm still not being heard because the music is going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Lord, you know, hallelujah, Lord God, you know the enemy does not want your word out, but we're going to continue to press on anyway. We're going to press on through all the distractions, all the background noise, the lines dropping, the music playing. This is going to continue to bring forth this word in Jesus' name. You know that a word is from God when there's much warfare to stop the people of God from hearing. This has happened a few times in the last few weeks, that the phone lines have dropped and all these different things, and warfare has broke out in my life. But so God be the praise. I'm going to continue to serve him. I'm going to continue to tell the truth to God's people, continue to pray and to bless you with his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So y'all can hear me. Yeah, praise God. I'm gonna minister regardless of the music playing. Dear moderator, if you can hear me, I would ask you to please turn the song off so that the word can go forth. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Holiness. Holiness is the thing that God is looking for in the earth. The one thing that the devil does not like is holiness. He doesn't like holiness. You're not going to hear too many people preaching on holiness that are popular, that are liked, that are received by the masses. Holiness is going to bring you into being a threat to the enemy. Holiness. Why? Because holiness represents and denotes the character of our God. He is holy. And the word declares for us to be holy as he is holy. That is only possible through him. It's only possible through relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's only possible through meditating on and obeying the word of God. As we meditate and obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit will teach us God's principles, his statutes. He will teach us his precepts and his doctrine, that we will know the true holiness of God. It is holiness that comes from mankind to approach God in holiness. But then there's the holiness where God says, I'll put my righteousness within you and upon you. And that's what we are after in this hour, because he's looking for us to have the right garments on when he comes. When we are received up to the Lord, there's a certain garment that we must wear. The Bible says that the saints are clothed in white, and the white represents the righteousness of the saints. I told you all last week, the saints means the holy one, the called out one, separated unto God. Holiness. That's what holiness is about. I don't know why the music is still playing. I don't have control over the network. So I've asked the moderator to please turn the song off, but I guess they're not hearing me. But we're going to still work this thing. I got a job to do. The atmosphere will hear what is being said, whether my voice has been drowned out or not. Hallelujah. So God will get this word to you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Holiness. God has a way that he wants his people to walk in. He has a way that he wants us to uphold a standard of holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has a standard of holiness that he wants us to walk in. And it's not the precepts of man, but of God. And we can find it in God's word. God's word will tell you what his holiness looks like and what it does not look like. Hallelujah. God's word will tell you what true holiness is all about and what's not true holiness. God's word will teach you how you must possess your vessel, how you must walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called. We have been called with a holy calling. People don't want to hear about holiness nowadays. They don't want to hear the word of holiness because, as I said last week, to many it sounds like a bad word and it has a bad taste in their mouth. Holiness is a good thing, because if God sets you apart, then that means he's got you the apple of his eye. Israel was the nation that God chose among nations and set them apart as the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. Because God says, you are a holy people unto me. He's talking to his church and saying, you are to be a holy people unto me. God wants a people that will walk after his holiness. Not our righteousness, self-righteousness, but his holiness. Not the law, trying to obey the precepts of the law by the letter, but holiness is by the Spirit. When the Spirit teaches you God's precepts, he's going to teach you doctrine. I showed you that last week in Isaiah 28 and 9, where he says, whom shall he teach understanding, and whom shall he make to know doctrine? He will teach you doctrine. That means he's going to show you the correct way to view his word. He's going to show you who he is. He's going to show you how to walk in it, that you may be a representative in the earth of his holiness. Hallelujah. God told the people, he says, for I am holy, and ye shall be holy. God is a holy God. He's separated. In other words, there ain't nobody like him. He wants you to know there ain't nobody like you. But you got to be as best. You got to be like him as best as he allows you to. You got to take on his attributes. This is what being a Christian is all about. People will attack you when your life identifies with Jesus. Because you got to go through some of what he went through. Not exactly all of it like him, but to be a Christian, the first part of that is the word Christ. So you got to endure what Christ, the Bible says, as Christ suffered or as Jesus suffered, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. That means you think like he do. That means if you think like he do, then you know some of what he knows. You don't know it all, but you know some of what he knows. That means you're going to go through some of what he went through. Why? He said, the world hates me. It's not you that the world hates, but it's me that they hate, because I testify that the works of the people of this world are wicked. That's what Jesus said. So when you begin to tell the truth, if you don't say a whole lot, your life, when you live right, and they see that you're different, that you love like he loved, that you walk like he walked, that you pray like he prayed, or whatever, when they see Christ formed in you, then that spirit of the world in the people of the world is going to come against you. But that's what's making you stand out. That's what's causing you to be separate and isolated and different and set apart. That's holiness. Holiness means to be set apart. It means to be set apart, not you separated yourself. I'm holier than y'all. Stay away from me. No. It's a point where people will push you away. They'll tell you, you don't fit here. We don't want you here. I know what I'm talking about, because this has happened to me, that isolation. But God says, I'll use it, because I want you to talk to me. I want you to know me, because the world is not what you're searching for. It's me you should be searching for. That's holiness. He said, it's him that we ought to be. He told Abraham, he says, I am your great and exceeding reward. I am. Then I'm telling you, I'm going to give you. I can give you that. But what did he tell me? He says, I am the reward. Not the promises of God. Not your seed and the generations. Because if he's talking to the man about seed, then that means it's something that I can give you of myself that's going to go beyond the generations of this world. Hallelujah. So he told him, I am your great and exceeding reward. Holiness is about being, hey, this world, the things in it, we can have what God gives us, and he promises us, and all those things, but there's something bigger, there's something greater. What about when the body is dead? We're no longer a part of this world. We're no longer living in this world. Now what? We've got to have something eternal, something great. God is the eternal one. Hallelujah. And his holiness is eternal. His covenant is eternal. Everything about God is eternal. Hallelujah. His love is eternal. His judgment is eternal. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Holiness. Last week I spoke about the point of conversion. There's a point of conversion. You can be born again and saved and all that stuff, but yet not really walking in the conversion. The Bible says in John 1 and 12, it says, as many as received him, gave he power to become sons of God. If you have to become something, that means you ain't it yet. You ain't it yet. Just because you are a believer doesn't mean you yet walking in what the fullness of your inheritance. You can get there. And it's the job of the preacher to explain this to you and that tell you that so that you can get there. But just because you said a confession, just because you believe a thing don't mean you're walking in it. Somebody say, prove it. I talked about it last week with the Apostle Peter. Peter walked with Jesus. He was one of the greatest men of faith. He walked on water, for God's sake. Nobody else can say they did that but him and Jesus. That's how powerful this man's faith was. He had faith. Yet Peter had a problem. Peter had some issues. And Jesus told him, he said, you're going to deny me three times Peter denied Jesus three times. He did not see his weakness. He talked to me. He says, I'll die with you. I'll go to prison and die with you. And the Bible says the rest of them said likewise. Sometimes a person will talk big and other people will follow them. And they don't have no idea what's really going on or about to go on. Now watch this. Peter said those things and Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. He says, but he tells him, he says, you know, Satan have desire to sift you as wheat. That means he wants to break you down, take every part of you and dissect it to see what he can find of himself that's in you so he can turn all of you. That's what he's really trying to do. How do I know? Because Jesus said, the prince of this world come, but he don't find nothing in me, nothing. That's the holiness of God. He's set apart so much that Satan can't find nothing of himself in Christ. Now, God is saying that's what we got to get to. We got to get to the point we're so pure in heart that the devil can't find nothing in us to turn us away. But he found something in Peter, and Peter denied Jesus. He found something. He broke him down to the smallest element. He sifted him like wheat. The devil asked for Peter and Jesus for whatever purposes had given him permission. But I believe he was allowing it for a purging, to let Peter know what was in him. Peter thought, I would die for you. I'll go to the grave for you. But Jesus knew, no, you won't. No, you won't. You're going to deny me tonight. That's what he told him. Now, after that, he told Peter, he says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail you not. Thank God that the gifts and callings are without repentance. His gift was the gift of faith. He prayed for that gift not to fail him. So what happened that night when he denied Jesus? Did his faith fail him? Did it fail him? I can't say, but I can say that at some point it brought him back to the Lord. It brought him back to the Lord because the Lord said, go tell the apostles and Peter that I am risen and to bring them hither to me. So when he noticed, he didn't say Peter, the apostle, he said, and Peter. In other words, he fell from his apostleship at that point, but God's going to restore him. So he sent the people to bring Peter. But what he told Peter at that time, he said, Satan have desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail you not. Then he says to him, what does he say? He says, and when thou art converted, when, there's a timeline there, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. When thou art converted. In other words, you've been walking with me all this time. You know me. You walk on water. You heal folks. You cast demons out of folks. You got power. You seen God in the flesh. You was on the mountaintop and saw the revelation that nobody else saw but James and John. You saw Moses and Elijah and said, let us make tabernacles. You got all this going for you, and you still ain't converted. Still ain't converted. So there's a point of conversion. But thank God for his mercy. He had mercy on Peter. He had mercy. Now, I'm not saying anybody should deny Christ. Don't do it. He might not have mercy on you. He's been showing me that. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Some folk ain't going to get the same level of mercy. They're going to try to do what somebody else did, and it's not going to work for them, and they're going to be looking dumb in the end. Don't play with God. Don't play with God's prophets. Now, watch this. Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Wasn't he already converted? Wasn't he saved? Wasn't he with Jesus? All that? He knew Jesus, saw him in the flesh. Yeah, he tells him when you're converted. That means there's a timeline in the things of God. That means you may not be there yet. And we have to be honest in our assessment of self. And then we can't get mad at the preachers when they tell us you ain't got it yet. We can't get mad. Hey, you got to hear God. You got to hear the Spirit. Watch this. So he tells him, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. He don't say, strengthen them now, because you know. No, he said, wait, when you are converted. Something I received today. Jesus talked about conversion, and he said something amazing about conversion. He says, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. You got to, sometimes that conversion is about humbling yourself, becoming more like a child. See, a child, all they know is love. They believe whatever you tell them. They quick to forgive. They heal very easily. You understand what I'm saying about a child? Childlike heart. We want to be grown in the presence of God, but the more grown you get, the more humble you should become. Hallelujah. Because we're born again. Watch this now. Holiness. Holiness. God's holiness is God's righteousness. The holiness of God predates the law. God was holy before he ever gave a law through Moses. So God's holiness is bigger than just the law. God was holy in the Garden of Eden when he told Adam and Eve exactly what to do. Well, he told Adam and Adam told Eve, and you know how the story goes. God gave them a law or a commandment at that point. There was no written book telling them or no stone tablets telling them thou shalt and thou shalt not. God just says simply, don't do it. And they went against the holiness of God because God said that one tree is holy, it's mine, it's separated, it's set apart, don't touch it. Everything else is common. You can eat all of the trees in the garden, but don't touch that one in the midst, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, think when the word holy is used, it means good or bad, but it simply means separate, separated unto the Lord. It was separate. God said that tree was not for man to touch. And we know the story. Man touched it and brought us all into sin and death. And God had to raise up Moses and the prophets and give us the law and the prophets to foreshadow Jesus, to give us Jesus, to bring us into the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, who points us back to Jesus, who intercedes on behalf of us to the Father. And now we can become sons of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Watch this. Man went against God's holiness in the beginning, and it's something ingrained in human flesh to want to go against the holiness of God, the separateness of God. God's being holy as he separates us. He says, just don't do anything outside of what I told you to do, and that keeps you from being, you know, common with the people of the world. See, the people of the world, if it feels good, do it. That's the mentality of the world. But the church, it's, hey, we got to follow the spirit now. It's not the letter of the law. You can try to keep all the commandments if you want to. You're still going to bust hell wide open at some point because you've done took your eyes off of the one that paid a price for you and purchased you with his blood. So it's not the righteousness of the law. It's not holiness, okay? But the righteousness that the law speaks of is because God is holy. So he had to give us something, a guideline to tell us how holy he is. Howbeit, in this dispensation, he says, I'll give you even better. I'll give you the Holy Ghost, and he will lead you into all truth, not partial truth, not the truth you agree with, not the truth that's sweet in your mouth, but sometimes the truth is bitter to your taste. Sometimes the truth will upset you. Sometimes the truth will make you mad at the preacher, but it's truth anyhow. Hallelujah. So he said he's going to lead you into all truth. It's not my job to lead you into all truth. It's nobody's job to do it but the Holy Ghost. And he's given as a guarantee that he will. But he didn't say that you would follow. The Bible said, Jesus says, thank you, Lord. Jesus said to them that believed. This is John chapter 8, around about verse 31, if y'all need a verbatim scripture. I'm not reading these things right now. I'm going to just tell you. John 8, around verse 31. Jesus told them that believed. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Those words make a whole lot of sense. If, that depends on you. Then, that's a timeline. So if you continue in his word, so that means we can stop following the spirit of truth. We can get off and follow something else. We can get into our own agenda, our own flesh, our own, you know, ideologies or somebody else's. You know, people get caught up in cults. I've seen people that once served God and then they turn and they in another spirit. It happened in heaven. What makes you think it's not happening on earth? But what made the angels that saw God's face turn? They knew more about God than we have, yet one third of them turn. Don't fool yourself to think it doesn't happen on earth. That's the thing that gets people deceived, is they don't believe that. They don't believe that it happens, so they just go on haphazardly. But we have to pursue God's holiness. The Bible says to follow peace and holiness. Without no man shall see God. That means you got to follow after it. You got to run hard after his holiness. Hallelujah. It's not just holiness is I didn't do this wrong and I did that right. The Pharisees had that. The holiness that God wants us is to be set apart, to chase after him, the person, to get to know him, put in time in that word, put in time in prayer, turn down your plate sometime to cry out to him, seek him. Hallelujah. He will guide you into all truth. Now, the preacher can't guide you into all truth. But if he's following the right spirit, then ain't nothing coming out of him but truth or her, whoever's preaching. The preacher, if they're really following the spirit of truth, then they can't get off into something else. They're going to speak what the Lord has given. Hallelujah. They're just like a funnel, like I said earlier. A funnel is no significance of its own, but what is poured into it is exactly what is poured out wherever it's pointed. And that's the aim of God, is when he pours in truth into a preacher, then they're going to pour it out to the people. And it's up to you to follow. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. So that means some people are not God's disciples indeed. They didn't follow on to the holiness of God. They only could go so far. When you read John chapter 6, it says that a lot of people follow Jesus. They turned and followed him no more. The Bible says that Jesus knew from the beginning them that did not believe. So at some point there was unbelief in those people because they did not follow all the way through. Now watch this, the holiness of God. I'm almost through. I know we had a rough start, a rocky beginning, and some distractions and some mishaps, but we're going to press on in the spirit of excellence. Bless the name of the Lord. So I want to share something with you about holiness. God wants his people to be set apart. He wants us to be set apart. That means different. And it don't feel good. The more closer you get to God, the more you don't fit in this world. I don't care how somebody tries to tell you it's wisdom and this, that, and the other. Baby, all wisdom is not godly wisdom. The Bible speaks of demonic wisdom, devilish, sensual wisdom. So some people can apply a level of their so-called wisdom, but it's coming from the flesh. But when you really when you press in to the holiness of God, it's going to cost you something. When you press in to knowing God in his holiness, he's set apart. How are you going to be with him and not be? How are you fitting in and you holy? He said ain't none like him in heaven or on earth, none beside him. So when he's calling you into him, the world can't accommodate for this holiness. It's like trying to take something that just don't fit and plant it somewhere else. It's like picking a palm tree and planting it on a snow-covered mountaintop. It wasn't made for that. It's not going to fit well. It's going to stand out, and everybody's going to know it. So the holiness of God is to set you apart. This is why persecution is going on in the world. See, we don't hear about it in America, not yet. It's probably coming, but we don't hear about it in America. See, we get upset because people don't like us. They misunderstand us. But people getting beaten, beheaded, and burnt alive, and shot, and hung, and all these things in other countries just for naming the name of Jesus. But they got a level of holiness because they understand I'm not in this world to be loved by this world. I'm in this world because I was born in the flesh by my parents, but my soul and spirit got to be redeemed until I get a new body. They understand this, so they're willing to lay their head on the chopping block and be killed and persecuted for their testimony of the one we call Lord. Think about that for a minute, that the holiness of God, when he's calling you into a place of holiness, it's going to make this world uncomfortable to you. Why do you think the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter? He's our comfort, nothing else. He's the Comforter because this world is not comfortable to you. It's not even really home. Yeah, we can have good things here in this land of the living. We can be blessed, et cetera, et cetera. We can. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But for some, sometimes, especially as we get into the holiness of God, it ain't for everybody because everybody's not going to press into the holiness of God. But he wants us to really know his holiness. I'm going to show you it in the Word. Watch this. As we press into it, the world becomes to be more and more hostile towards us. It's not just the people over there in Pakistan and in Egypt and other places where they're getting killed for their testimony, but the hostility of the world is the spirit of the world is against you. Now, God may not allow the decree to go out to where they can persecute you to death in America, at least at this time. We've been blessed. We've been blessed to not have to endure that, and we thank God for it. Nevertheless, the world system as a whole is not going to be for you. That means you're going to see the world and people that you didn't know had it in them until it's revealed. But the holiness of God will reveal it. Watch this now. Holiness. Holiness is not legalism. I got to say that, and I'm going to do a message on that as the Lord will lead. But legalism is basically bringing people into the bondage of the law, talking about that. Understand, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing God. When you know God, then he sets you apart. It's almost like you're different. You can't fit in with everybody. Everything can't go into you. You can't take everything in your spirit. You can't watch what everybody else watch. Now, nobody have to preach that to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you, turn it off. You know that ain't good for you. Put that down. You know that ain't good for you. He will deal with you. That's the holiness of God. And unfortunately, many in the church, we've gotten away from that. But God is making a call for holiness. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm going to show you something, then I'm going to get out of here. I didn't plan on being this long, but the first few minutes of it, you know, we had some mishaps. So let me go on. Jesus said something. Jesus said about the way of God, the way of God. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, enter ye in. I want you to listen to me real good if you're on the line tonight. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, I want you to highlight that word many, and many there be which go in thereat. So he's telling you, these folks talking like Jesus is going, like everybody's going to heaven and Jesus just going to save everybody. He came that everybody would be saved, but he himself said many ain't going to be. Understand, this is the word of God. It's not that we don't want these people saved. It's not that we're putting people in hell. We're just giving you the reality and the truth of the word of God. And you either receive it or you try to come up with your own wisdom. But the word is the word. He said, many there be which go there at. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Understand that word, because he's saying, here's the reason why many are not going to make it. Here's why. Because straight is the gate. Straight. It's a straight path. It's straight. But then the way is narrow. The way is very narrow. Do you understand a narrow thing? You don't have room for everybody. You don't have room for everything. You got to be set apart now. It almost seems like everything is closed in on you. The narrow road gets more and more narrow the more you say yes to God. This is not popular. I don't expect to be popular behind preaching this. I don't expect everybody to agree. But if you want to make it into heaven, if you really want God, you really want to know him in who he is, you really want to be caught up onto the throne of God, then we're going to have to press into his holiness. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Narrow means you don't have room for a whole lot of error. You don't have a margin for error. That means it's like a little beat down path. Now, you imagine the broad way. He says the way to destruction is broad, that way. Broad is the way. That's where they come up with Broadway, Hollywood and all that. Broadway. Everybody wants to be on the Broadway. Everybody wants to go that way. It's a wide open highway full of traffic. It's busy. Everybody's there. Here's the thing about it. If everybody doing it, I'm pretty sure God's holiness ain't in it. Just think about that. Anything that everybody's doing, you probably won't find the holiness of God in it, because he's set apart. He'll call you to do something totally different. He'll call you to be different because he's holy, and you should be too. Watch this. So straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. You got to seek. You got to seek to find it. You can't find what you're not looking for, and you can't find what's not hidden. You don't have to find it if it's just there and everybody sees it, if it's that easy and anybody can get it. No, this is Jesus said that, y'all. This is red letter in the King James Version of the Bible. This is not my words. I didn't make this up. I didn't string this together. This is the word of the living God on paper. You either believe it or you don't. But this is the word of God. He said it. Few there be that find the way which leadeth to life. Few. Why would he say few? Don't God want everybody saved? Of course he do. He's not going to make them saved. He come to save them, but they got to receive it. That's back to what I said in the beginning. John 1 and 12. As many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. So in the becoming process, there's a walk we got to walk. And he says, if you continue in my way, in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Watch this now. Luke 13, 24. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. There's your responsibility, dear Christian. Strive to enter. Strive. That means you got to do something. That's the holiness of God. It's not following the law, the letter of the law, and trying to keep the Torah and, you know, sacrifices and the Sabbath day and all that. I'm not talking about that. But there's a strive. That means I want to know you. I'm scratching. I'm pulling. I'm doing all I can. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm crying out. And it's unto God. It's not for man to see. Nuh-uh. It's about, Lord, I want you. The more you strive. And he said, he's going to give you that. He says, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. See, they're going to seek, but at the wrong time. So if we seek now, if we're seeking now and striving now, then I just believe that we will get what we're asking for. He says, seek and you shall find, and it shall be given. He'll give it to you. He'll give you the keys. He'll give you the understanding. Now watch this. Go with me to the Old Testament. And while I'm on that, let me say this. I have to. Please, please, please listen. The Lord showed me something in prayer a few weeks ago. I saw a multitude of sheep, and it was as if they were without a shepherd. And I didn't understand it until yesterday. And on yesterday, I got the revelation of why I saw all these sheep when I was praying. And the Lord was letting me know that his people are like sheep without a shepherd. Many of his people are like sheep without a shepherd. And what that meant is this, because a lot of people are not rightly dividing the word of truth, a lot of God's sheep are in trouble. You have a lot of gifted people. God's not going to repent for the gifts. You got a lot of gifted people. They called and they gifted. So the calling works on their life. The gift works on their life, but they don't understand this Bible. They don't know what God is saying because he hasn't taught them doctrine. So what happens is people will take the new and try to build the old on top of that. Let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus says you can't, you know, you got to put new wine in new wineskins. He says you can't take an old garment and sew it onto a piece of new cloth, old piece of cloth and sew it onto a new garment or whatever. Y'all know how the thing goes. Well, what he was showing me is that what a lot of people are doing is they're taking the Old Testament and putting it as the foundation, where the truth and the promises of it are the foundation. But the New Testament is in the blood of Jesus. Understand something. It's not just the books that are written. The New Testament is in the blood of Jesus, which means it's in the Spirit, okay? The Spirit of God. What happens is a lot of people are trying to take the old. Help me say this, Holy Ghost. They're trying to take the old and rebuild it. They're trying to take the old and rebuild it. That's why they come to the New Testament with an Old Testament mentality, when you should go to the Old Testament with a New Testament mentality. Let me say it again. You can't really receive true revelation from the old until you have really become a New Testament saint through the blood of Jesus. When you really washed, when you really blood bought and paid for and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you really understand who Jesus is, why he came, and who he sent, and why he sent them, and what they said, and what it meant to you, and to rightly divide and interpret this word by the Holy Spirit. Then you go and you find the things in the old. What a lot of people are doing is they're trying to have an Old Testament mentality, the way the Old Testament prophets handled it, the way that all those things, and they're trying to operate in that in the new, when we're called to a new and living way. So before I read the Old Testament, let me help you understand something. It's the all of it's true. The Old Testament is true. Paul writes and he says, we must study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the books we have in the New Testament, as we call it the New Testament, those books were not written at the time that was said. They were being written. So what was he talking about, the word of truth? He was talking about the Old Testament. So he was saying there's a right way to take those scriptures and pull them apart to form the doctrine. What is the right way? The Holy Ghost has to teach you. I told you that on last week, Isaiah 28 and 10. And then you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, around about verse 9. He talks about the things that the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost teaches you doctrine. He teaches you how to line upon line, precept upon precept. A lot of people have not been taught by the Holy Ghost. So they're taking what's true, but they're not rightly dividing it. So it's still true. The word is still true, but they're not giving it to you the way the Holy Spirit wants it. And that's dangerous. And that's why a lot of sheep are in trouble, because you got a lot of people in bondage to these Pharaoh-type leaders. They're using the word to bind people up under them. And the people don't know God. They're not getting fed. But God is sick of this mess, and he wants his people free. Anyways, I'm going to get off of that. I need to go to the Old Testament for a minute, but I wanted to put that plug in there before I go to the Old Testament so nobody gets it mistaken as to why it's used. Now, in Isaiah 35, verse 8, it says, "And an highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." He's saying even if you fool, the way of holiness is so plain and so true that you can't even mess this up. It's so plain and so true if you really get in it. Watch this. He said, "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." So if you've been paid for, you've been bought with a price, and you really understand what this covenant is about, that Jesus paid with his blood, then you'll never go back under the law, first of all. You'll never go back trying to, you know, do it in Judaism. But you understand that everything that was in that was pointing to where we're in now. So he's saying the redeemed, watch this, the redeemed shall walk in the way of holiness, right? He says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their head." The ransomed. So this was written in the Old Testament, prophetic language. But he's telling us things that are going to be in the new. He's saying that the way is holiness. Holiness. The redeemed of the Lord. Those who have been redeemed, bought back, paid for with a price, ransomed. All these words are letting you know that God already knew what he was going to do in the future. And now we are in that way. We're in the holiness of God through Jesus Christ. We have to make sure we are true believers. We have to make sure we are actually not just believing, but following. He said to them that believe, "If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed." If. So we have to walk in that way. That way, that means now the Spirit will enlighten you and show you the truth in the letter of the law and how it applies to your personal life, how it applies to you right now, how it what it represents for you in the right now. So you're not trying to please God through the flesh, but you're walking after the Spirit. Hallelujah. He says to be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians chapter 5, I believe, around about verse 18, or 3 and 18, excuse me. It says to be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the Spirit will lead you outside of the law into the holiness of God without the law, by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what he wants us to know. But he said the way is called the way of holiness. Jesus talks about the way, the narrow way. It's holiness. Holiness is the way. So the way is narrow. It's holy. It's set apart. Everybody ain't on it. Don't expect everybody to understand when God starts drawing you into his holiness. Don't expect everybody to agree when God draws you into his holiness. You have to walk circumspectly, line upon line, precept upon precept, with the things God has shown you. Just make sure it's the Spirit of truth that you're dealing with. How do you know what's true? Thank you. This is how I'm going to end this message. I want you to listen to me real good if you're on the line. This is how you determine what is true. God has already given us his record. John chapter 17, verse 17. This is 2017, so this is significant for this year. This number 17, you can find out a lot about the number. Watch this. John 17 and 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." That means set them apart, make them holy through thy truth. But then he says, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. He even said the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory all things whatsoever I've said unto you. He knew what was going to be written because he knew that he was going to send the Spirit to bring to these people to write what is written. So what is written is needed. You want to know if the Spirit you receive is of God. You want to know if the things you're hearing is from God. Get in the word. Never neglect the word. Even Jesus knew the word. Even Jesus quoted the word. There's certain things. You know, when the devil came, Jesus used the word. It's written. Okay, he says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." He's in the book. He's in the book. See, the devil will try to take you out of the book. He'll try to take you into the Spookyville. But the book is still here, and it ain't changing. Hallelujah. So God wants you to know his spirit, but his spirit is going to talk to you through the precepts of that book. I told a part of my testimony last week, and I'm going to say it again this week. The Lord will confirm, if he speaks a word to you in your ear, audible voice, and it goes against this book, it ain't God, because he's not going to speak that way. But when God speaks a word in your ear, an audible voice, it's going to line up with the truth that's in this book. I know, because I told the testimony of how I heard the voice of God so clear as you hear me over these radio waves. I heard him clearer than that. And everything he spoke to me, come to find out, at the time I didn't even know the Bible. But after I started reading the Bible, I found the exact words in there verbatim. So God's word is that true, and his spirit never goes contrary. So we were seeking after the holiness of God. We want to be on that narrow path. We want to be those few. It says many are going in the way of destruction, but it doesn't have to be anybody listening to me right now. If you're hearing this word and God's pricking your heart and pointing you towards his holiness, there's no need for you to be on the broad path of destruction unless you want to. But he says the way is the way of holiness. God is holy. Hallelujah. God wants his people to be holy, not legalistic, not trying to know him through the old law covenant, but to know what this new covenant is all about. Jesus shed his blood for us, that we would have an understanding of him. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless you. I thank you that this word, although through much things, it was delivered through much warfare. Lord, I just bless you that somebody heard what needed to be heard, heard what needed to be said. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would release healing to your people, healing to the bodies, healing to the mind and the soul, Lord God. I pray right now that you will heal. Father God, if I find any favor in your sight, I want you to grant this request right now, Lord God. Heal, Lord God. Heal. Heal bodies, Lord God. Let a healing revival start in the body of Christ, Lord, this very day. Let a healing revival, that the gifts of healing that have laid dormant in many people will be activated this very day, and that we will begin to hear many multiple testimonies of the healings that you have performed through your church. And we will be careful to give you all the praise and glory. We won't take none of it, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you are covering our homes, our children, our families in the blood of Jesus. Because we know that the blood causes death to pass over us when he sees the blood. I thank you, Lord God, that you are giving us wisdom and righteous wisdom. And a righteous mindset. Your word says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I thank you that our minds are renewed unto your holiness. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to be set apart. And Lord, if that means we're uncomfortable, if it means the world doesn't like us, if people don't understand us, it doesn't matter, Lord. Just let us be able to shine, Lord God. Let us be able to give you the praise and the glory unto your name, Lord God, until they see the light. Let us continue to shine, Lord God. And let us love. Father, we must walk in love. We must speak the truth in love, Lord God. I pray right now that you would just a love revolution in the church, that we would be filled with your love, Lord God, a genuine love, Lord God, that doesn't look for fault in others, a love that doesn't contaminate, it doesn't accuse, it doesn't do harm, it doesn't slander, a love, Lord God, that causes us to be convicted when we're not doing things in love. When our words are not coded in love, I pray right now that you would just give us a love revival. These things I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed on today. I won't open the lines or ask for anybody to have prayer requests, but you have power to pray over your own situation. And I stand in agreement with your prayers that are according to the will of God and the word of God. May you be blessed as you go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, We thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.